Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside. Joined on this fine hours before vacation Wednesday afternoon here by you guys. So today, the way that this is going to work out, and the reason that I am live in the first place, is because there's a report from ESPN, from Dave McMenamin specifically, about Luka Doncic hosting all of the Lakers there in Slovenia for a team trip slash minicamp. And I yesterday recorded in an episode of the Luka Doncic player preview episode that I told you guys that I was going to start recording. And in that episode, I had talked about how one of the things that I really want to see from Luka this year is leadership, right? Taking this kind of a role. And seeing as I bring that up in that show, which will probably drop either tomorrow or Monday, seeing as I brought that up, I wanted to get out ahead of this out ahead of that and say how cool I find this. So that's what we're going to spend a little bit of time on in the beginning. I got an interesting question from, and it was from my buddy Kirk, and he was being funny when he sent it. But then I've also gotten enough comments over the last few days about like optimism slash pessimism and why I am the way that I am. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And then, completely segueing awkwardly away from those two subjects, I want to talk about some of the stuff that I've been noticing here with Steph Curry, that I started to notice with LeBron James and Anthony Davis and the Lakers and the Warriors, and just kind of give my thoughts on that entire situation before I jump into the chat and answer some of your guys' questions that you guys will hit me with over the course of the show. So, like, oddly loaded episode here, for a random Wednesday in late July. So let's go ahead and dive on in. Before we do that, though, obviously, I want to talk to you or ask you guys to please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications, both for the show and for YouTube, so you get the notifications for the show. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever it is that you get those podcasts, preferably on Odyssey, but iTunes, Spotify, I don't know if Stitcher is still a thing, but anywhere that you get them is perfectly fine with me. And the show is brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA. And when you use it, when you sign up and make your first $5 selection, if you win that selection, you will get $150 just right off the bat from Prize Picks. And I think that's an insane deal, like an absolutely incredible deal. So you're going to want to take advantage of that. You can do so using the link that is in the show description. All right. Or the episode's description. All right. Let's go ahead and dive on in to Luka Doncic hosting the Lakers there in Slovenia. Right off the bat, you see the comment there at the bottom from Marlo who is asking, why do you think Luka is doing this? I think he is very aware of the fact that he is entering a different stage of his career, right? He turns 28 in February. The days of his, you know, early to mid 20s are over. He is now entering his late 20s, approaching 30. And this is the stage of players' careers where they sometimes start to find their voice and they start to find that they are capable of stepping into leadership roles. And this is, you know, one of those opportunities and one of those ways that Luka can step up and do so. I think this is awesome. Objectively, really cool that Luka is doing this, opening up his home, showing his teammates this side of him. One of the things that sometimes happens with teams that are led by international players is sometimes, you know, there's that kind of separation where they work here in the States, but then in the off season they go home and they go to where they are their most comfortable. And obviously when you are your most comfortable, you show a different side of yourself, right? I am a completely different person when I am when I'm with my family, when I'm with Jen, when I'm with my kids. I'm a completely different human being. Somebody who's probably a lot more likable than the version of me that makes the air. And, you know, this is one of those opportunities that the Lakers get to learn a little bit more about the guy who is going to be leading them into this Luka Doncic era, not just this season, but hopefully for the foreseeable future. So I think, you know, first and foremost, when, you know, you ask why is he doing this, it's to show his teammates a different side of them. And also to, you know, there's a lot of roster turnover, obviously, on this team. They're going to need as many reps together as they can possibly get. And this is one of those opportunities to do so. So they'll get together, they'll work out together, they'll get to know each other, both as people and as basketball players and as athletes. They'll eat some dinners together. They'll play a little golf together. And then, you know, at the end of this, thinking back to like thinking back when I played basketball, like in high school and stuff, my absolute favorite memories were those road trips where we would go and play. Like my senior year, we played a tournament in Santa Barbara. We played a tournament in San Diego. We played a tournament in Vegas. I used to play travel soccer, right? So I remember those trips that we would take as a team for travel ball and soccer and in basketball and in baseball and stuff. And those were like, you know, you just walked away from those trips closer with your team than you were when those trips began. And you take enough of those trips together, you start to learn a little bit more about some of those teammates, and that bond becomes closer. And I know this is very intangible, unprovable, but still critical aspect of being a team. But if you have that kind of bond, if you truly care about the person sitting next to you on the bus, on the plane, in the locker room, on the bench, out there on the court together. If you truly care about that person as a human, you are more likely to go that extra step, dive on the floor, take that charge, defend the rim, make the extra pass, like do those unselfish things that are necessary for teams to, you know, reach their highest of highs and stuff like this. And I know that like vast majority of these teams do stuff like this over the course of the summer, and we don't necessarily always hear about it. But with Luka specifically, there is this narrative out there that he isn't necessarily the leader that teams would like him to be. Not saying the narrative is true, but this, you know, refutes that narrative.
Hey gang, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and we are gonna move. We are gonna answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Gets the season started. And this is something that like NBA voters will carry into the season of like, maybe this is going to be a different Luka year. And if this is a different Luka year, maybe his chances at MVP go up by just that little bit, right? This is, again, like part of the reason that I'm live right now is because it's something that I brought up in my Luka preview, which is that like this is one of those things that he needs to take a real step forward with. And this is how you'd start to take that real step forward, stuff like this. So really excited to hear about this. Think it's absolutely hilarious that Jackson Hayes got that dual citizenship. The Lakers are literally taking a trip to the country that he has dual citizenship with in there in Slovenia, and he is not participating in this trip. The other thing I asked about before I went live to some of the people that are close to the Lakers, I haven't gotten an answer yet. But I was just kind of, you know, fucking around. Hey, do you think Kuminga got an invite to this thing? What do you think? at the very, very least, and I tweeted about this earlier, I'm hoping that Kevon Looney takes some of the best pictures ever and is like, look at what you're missing. We're here working out. We don't have a starting four or a three, you know, for the fives that we might be running. You know, we'll see what comes out of that. But yeah, I think there is no positive or negative or any other spin to apply to this other than to say, well done, Luka. Good stuff, Lakers. Hope this gets the season started off on the right foot. So the next thing I want to talk about and kind of awkwardly, naturally segued to this at the end of that last segment is this notion that I am like inherently pessimistic. I will grant that I am probably a lot more conservative with like my takes that I'm a lot more aware, I think, of being a homer. And coming off as a homer than some of my peers, some of my colleagues. And that isn't to say that they are doing it wrong or that I am doing it better or that I am doing this any more correct. Nothing like that. Just something I've noticed and have been accused of and am aware of as a criticism of the show. And, you know, I got that question from Kirk in the mailbag, right? Like, why are you the way that you are? And, you know, I think what it really kind of comes down to is just me as a human being. I am, I think, a dreamer. I do see like the nth degree versions of things. And part of that is because like my dreams came true and that like I get to do this for a living. And yet like I also see the nth degree of how things could go poorly. I also have spent a lot of time in different walks of life with different people and have very different experiences and tend to kind of see through bullshit and am always kind of put off by bullshit. And if I feel like I am being, you know, having bullshit applied to me and I'm being told, you know, while somebody's peeing on me that it is rain, I push really hard back against that. So I don't go into any of these situations trying to be pessimistic. The show would probably be a bigger show if I was a little bit more optimistic. But at the end of the day, what I'm always going to be is honest. Like I'm always going to like you will never hop on here, hear me analyze a situation and think anything other than this is how he truly feels about this situation. And like, if it's good news, like in the last segment, that was great news. I love hearing this about the Lakers and about Luka. Then I'm going to hop on here and I'm going to say, this is great. I really love that Luka is doing this. If it's something that I don't like, right, or don't agree with, like the last week or so of shows talking about LeBron and the Lakers' approach to this offseason with LeBron, you guys are going to know it. And what I hope that you guys take from that, and I don't want to spend too much time on this subject. Like I'm this isn't a navel-gazy show. But if what I hope you guys take from it is that, like, when you guys are listening, if you hear me optimistic or excited about something, you know that that is coming from the heart. That is definitely how I feel about it. And one of the things that, like, I kind of wonder about with some shows that lean inherently positive, and always lean positive, is if that audience ever feels like they are getting 100% real from that host or that writer or that reporter. And that's something I never want you guys to worry or wonder about, right? I want you guys, when you hit that subscribe button, when I go live and when you click the link to come here and check out the show, I always want you guys to know, or never have to wonder, wait, is this actually how he feels about this? And as some audiences might with shows that are maybe a little bit more interested in audience growth, and because look, like the surest path to audience growth in sports coverage, especially local sports coverage where you're only covering one team, is optimism, is homerism. People tune in to their favorite sports shows to feel good about the team that they're rooting for, about the chances that their team that they're rooting for might have going into any given season. So, like, those of us who do this are very aware of that. And there are some among us who lean that way, knowing that that is probably the quickest pathway to larger audiences. And again, like, that is a thing that I could do. I come from PR. I know how to bullshit people. I know how to spin things to continue to make people feel good about the team that they root for. But because I spent so much time in that world, and because I walked away from my time in that world saying, like, I never want to talk like all of those people talk in that world, I just said, you know what? I'm going to do the show. I'm going to do it 100% real. And there are going to be some people who truly fuck with the show, love what we do here. And there are going to be people who truly hate me on like a soul level. And I totally understand the people who don't consider this their cup of tea. I totally love that there are enough people here who do like this stuff that we can keep the lights on and that I can continue doing this. And what that means, and this is what I always tell to employers and to sponsors and stuff like that, is that, you know, the people who do love this show, who do subscribe to the show, who do show up to all of these episodes, they're going to support the sponsors who support the show. They're going to go that extra mile because, like I just said in the last segment, right? If you care, if you feel like you're getting the real from your host and you're starting to actually learn who the host is, then you're going to care a little bit more about that host and that show. So with all that said, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. And just understand, I don't go into this hoping to be pessimistic. I don't go into this hoping to be optimistic. Well, I hope to be optimistic. I would prefer to be optimistic about what the Lakers are doing on any given decision that they make. I don't go into this, though, looking for, like, all right, what is the take that I could give that would, you know, grant me the biggest audience? It just eventually audiences see through that stuff, I think. And in my experience, I've been doing this for a long time. That's been proven to be pretty true. So what you're getting, what you see is what you get. What you're hearing is how I truly feel about every single situation. And I am a little bit more conservative in terms of, like, decisions that the Lakers can make. I've spent enough time covering the NBA at large to understand how talented this league is and how difficult winning a championship is. And I hold the Lakers to that standard. And that's where a lot of my conservatism in those decisions kind of comes from. It's like, man, all right, we'll see how Mamu handles the Oklahoma City Thunder in the second round next year. Or, all right, let's see how Austin Reeves handles that San Antonio Spurs defense next year. And like, all right, let's see how the Lakers handle next year, having, I think, taken LeBron for granted for a little while. And we'll see how all of this plays out. But yeah, I cover the Lakers. You can ask Harrison, who knows me the best of anybody in this industry. He'll tell you, I am just me. I truly am the way that I am. And I really root like hell for the Lakers because I'm still a Laker fan and because it helps all of us here watching have a better time rooting for the Lakers if they are good. But at the end of the day, like I still have to tell you how I truly feel so that if you see me like a move, you can be like, huh, all right, this might be a pretty good move. Or if you see me dislike a move, you can be like, huh, well, he's an idiot anyway.
Millions of Americans are looking for effective ways to manage their weight, but finding the right support can feel confusing and time-consuming. Orderly Meds offers a convenient online experience that connects you with licensed medical providers to explore GLP-1 treatment options from home. The process is simple. Complete your information online, connect with a provider, and learn what options may be right for you. No waiting rooms, no complicated scheduling, just a modern, streamlined experience designed around convenience. Visit orderlymeds.com/podcasts to learn more today. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. One more time, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.
All right. Let's move on. Enough navel gazing. Let's talk about this situation that we're watching play out with Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors. And one of the things that I have honestly been kind of triggered by, to be completely honest, but like one of the things that I've been hearing a lot of recently is that the Warriors only want to, you know, use draft capital on moves that they feel move the needle. Remember that? Remember like that spin coming from the Lakers, that being the thing that that like reporters who need access kept on saying, right? Well, the Lakers, like, you know, they saw some stuff that they liked at the deadline. They decided not to pull the trigger because they didn't want to use first round draft capital on moves that they didn't feel moved the needle. And that needle, man, pissed me the hell off all the time. Just hopping on here being like, how are you going to know? Like, do you think when the Lakers elevated Alex Caruso from a two-way contract to a true NBA contract that they thought that guy eventually was going to help them win a championship? Would you say that Alex Caruso over the years has moved the needle? I would say so. And yet, like, there's this spin that is coming from the Warriors now where it's like, you know, the Warriors, like, they kind of liked Jaylen Brown, but they didn't want to use draft capital on him because they aren't too sure if he's going to be capable of leading this thing after Steph. And it's like, okay, but like the point is to compete with Steph. And one of the things that kind of drove me nuts at the end or the tail, you know, the final chapters of the book that LeBron and Anthony Davis wrote together while they were Lakers together, one of the things that drove me nuts was this whole notion of like, well, yeah, we aren't really sure about like this move and whether it puts us into true contention. And what is really being said there, or what was really being said there and is now being said about Steph Curry, is that those franchises don't, or at least the Lakers back then somebody like entered the studio and I was like, that's not, didn't have a guest here. Anyway. The thing that the Lakers were saying about Anthony Davis and what they were saying about LeBron James was that at that point in that partnership, they had given up hope that those two guys could be the two best players on a championship level team. And you know, with Steph Curry, unfortunately, what it sounds like coming from the Golden State Warriors right now is that they don't feel that Steph Curry can be the best player on a championship level team. He's dealt with injuries recently. He's 38 years old, blah, 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 blah. I'm not saying I agree. I disagree with both franchises and both front offices and their handling of that situation, right? If you have followed the show for years, you would see me like, you know, this was essentially how I have felt, or how I felt at the time when the front office was gaslighting us the way that they did. This is why I look like this, everybody. This is why I'm losing my mind. Remember that? Like, that was me. Now, that was in response to Darvin Ham being a terrible basketball coach. But, you know, part of the reason that there wasn't the urgency to fix the Darvin Ham situation, to fix the Russell Westbrook situation, to you know, get those rosters to where they needed to be to give LeBron and AD real chances at winning a championship, was because Rob had been given walking orders from Jeannie, who no longer believed in LeBron James and Anthony Davis as cornerstones of a championship caliber NBA team. And I think what you're watching happen right now is that same cycle with Steph Curry. And what the two situations have in common is ownership that took those superstars for granted because they weren't their superstars, right? Jeannie Buss is like, you know, hails from the Church of Kobe. And I think like the extent to which she would have been willing to push chips into the table for the end of Kobe's career far exceeded the comfort that she had pushing chips into the middle of the table for the LeBron era. Joe Lacob bought the team when Steph was already there. And Lacob is trying to prove to everybody that he is the reason for the immense growth of the Golden State Warriors after he has bought the team, when in reality, the real reason for that immense growth is Steph Curry. And at the end of the day, with all professional sports, you are only as good as your owner is bought in. And I don't think Joe Lacob is bought into the Steph era in the way that he should be, because he didn't find Steph. I don't think Jeannie Buss was ever as bought into, or especially late stage LeBron, I don't think she was as bought into that partnership as she should have been, because LeBron wasn't drafted by the Lakers and wasn't a lifelong Laker. And in both of those situations, I think both franchises gave up a little too quickly on players who I think could, like in the case of Steph, can still be the best player on a championship level team, or at least, like, you know, you probably need a really good second best player on that team. But still, and in the case of LeBron and Anthony Davis, like the times that they had even like somewhat decent rosters, they got to conference finals. So, and then, you know, to fully back up my claim here, the moment that they got somebody that they truly believed in, this being the Lakers, as the best player on a championship level team, the moment that they got that player, what did they start doing more of? Pushing chips into the middle of the table. They immediately made that Mark Williams trade. Now, it was rescinded because of the bad physical, but they immediately pushed chips into the middle of the table. In the case of this offseason, right? This is the first time, this looks like it's going to be the first time ever that Rob Pelinka enters a season both without a first round pick to be able to trade at the deadline, and potentially with 15 players on the roster. That is, neither of those things have happened under Rob Pelinka while he had LeBron as his best player. And that just kind of goes to show how an organization moves when they truly believe in their star versus when they don't. And what I find super cynical about both the LeBron situation before and especially the Steph Curry situation is that, like, Joe Lacob gets to use Steph Curry's loyalty against him. Eventually, LeBron said, all right, fuck this, I'm gone. But it's a lot harder for Steph Curry to do that. He wants to be a lifelong Golden State Warrior. He wants to also compete for championships right up until the moment that he can no longer compete for championships. And yet, because Joe Lacob knows that Steph would prefer to remain a Golden State Warrior rather than go and chase a title somewhere else or go play for Charlotte in his hometown or closer to his hometown, like, because Lacob knows that he can hold that loyalty over Steph, guess what Lacob is going to continue telling his front office to do? You know, the Warriors haven't acquired a single player this summer. All they've done is brought guys back, and that team wasn't even good last year. And yet, like, you haven't heard a peep out of Steph or his camp saying, like, hey guys, like, I'm still pretty good. And Lacob is going to continue to use that against him. So this isn't necessarily a Lakers topic. This is kind of more a broader NBA topic, because I think it's really a bummer that, like, we kind of tread water through the end of LeBron's final, like, true prime, and that we are stuck here watching Steph Curry hope to make play-in games on some sorry ass rosters there in Golden State. Like, the basketball fan in me in both of those cases is saying, like, man, that sucks. You know, LeBron stuff, like, that was me as a Laker fan saying, like, this sucks. Like, that was a bummer. But me as a basketball fan, given how electrifying Steph Curry on a heater can be, like, I want to see that in higher stakes moments deeper into the playoffs. And under Joe Lacob's leadership and under Mike Dunleavy Jr.'s leadership, it's just not going to happen. And look at what, like, some of these other, like, some of the talented people that they have told to go away and to leave Golden State have gone and done, right? Like, Travis Schlenk has been really good, or was pretty damn good there in Atlanta. And then you got, what Bob Myers has done there in Philadelphia, and bringing in Mike Gansey, and then eventually having one of the better off seasons that I've honestly ever seen, what Philly has been able to do. And in both of those cases, because Joe Lacob wanted to elevate his son, and because those entities were, you know, applying a little bit more pressure to actually compete at the tail end of Steph Curry's career, they were kind of told, hey, go find other gigs. We're good here. And they aren't. Golden State isn't good there. They're a freaking disaster. I love watching it because I hate all sports coming out of the Bay. And on that level, like, it's been kind of fun to watch Joey Lightyears just be a complete Jerry Jones level failure. But at the same time, like, the basketball fan in me who just loves watching Steph cook, this is a bit of a bummer. But we move on back to Lakers stuff. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into some of the questions and comments that you guys had over the course of the show. Sky Falcon 5, does his Slovenia brother Hayes still get the invite? I doubt it. I did get a response back on Kuminga getting an invite. I don't think he did quite yet. Maybe if that situation is resolved. They aren't going on this trip until mid-August, I believe, Dave said. So, like, maybe technically there's a couple of weeks to still resolve the Kuminga thing, and then maybe Kuminga can get that invite. But as it stands right now, like, it looks like Hayes and Kuminga are both on the outside looking in. I am Robbie asking, why did LaFraud never do this? Only to be followed up by Omar, who was correct in saying that LeBron did do this. On a few occasions, LeBron had mini camps there in Vegas. Actually, the beginning of, like, Austin Reeves really kind of showing that he had it there with the Lakers began in that mini camp when he was, you know, cooking a lot of guys that were on actual NBA deals. LeBron watched that, relayed back to the front office, like, this dude's good. Like, we're going to want to convert this guy's contract ASAP.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, Make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. Men's National Team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Then he gets there, and I think in like training camp, that trend continued, and then eventually Austin was rewarded with that proper NBA deal. But that all started in one of LeBron's mini camps. So like, yeah, this notion that like Luka is more bought in, or that this trip to Slovenia proves that Luka is more bought in than LeBron ever was, is just kind of false. Let's see. I appreciate JP248 saying with all that navel gazing said, please like and subscribe. Thank you very much, JP, for that. Derek Parker, the narrative about Luka is so funny because if it's true, then why do so many former and present teammates love the guy so much? All right. I'm not saying that this isn't the case, but what I will say about the practice of current and former teammates saying they love superstar X is just a little cynical, because and again, not saying this is going on with Luka specifically, but there have been enough superstars whose teammates like speak up for them, who like you just know move kind of shady behind the scenes. Giannis is one of them. KD is one of them. Russell Westbrook is one of them. And all of those guys, like after the fact, you know, teammates will all say, oh my God, that guy was so great. That guy was so good. You know, and a couple of things are at play there. One, the way that basketball players see each other and what they value in their teammates is very different from like how you view your coworkers. It's just a completely different culture that frankly, like, somebody like me is just not going to fully comprehend or relate to. So like first, like that's kind of the starting point, is that like, I'm going to be honest and tell you guys, I don't know what I don't know. The other thing is that those superstars, and this is kind of the cynical read of some of these situations, those superstars, they aren't like employees. And what I mean by that is, general managers, especially coaches, right? They are middle managers. The actual boss of a situation is always going to be the owner, but the next most powerful person in the organization is always going to be the superstar. It's going to be the quarterback in the NFL. It's going to be, you know, whatever Shohei's equivalent is in Major League Baseball. Although it's a little different there because there are so many baseball players and their impact on games on a player by player basis is lower. But anyway, in basketball, it is always going to be your superstar who like frankly outranks general manager, head coach, all that stuff. And if you want to stick in an NBA locker room or in an NBA franchise, what you probably should not do is knock your boss, who in this case, in this really kind of weird way, is the superstar that you play on a roster with. So like, while I'm not saying every single time a, you know, player X says superstar Y is a great dude, I like that guy, blah, 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 like, I'm not saying that all of those guys are like fudging the numbers there or anything like that. All I'm saying is that like, there's some incentive to not actually airing the dirty laundry there. There is some incentive to, you know, making it, you know, clear that like, no, we're good. We're good. Of course, I love it when Russell Westbrook takes that 17-foot bank shot jumper with like 7 seconds still left on the shot clock when we have better players and better options on the court. Of course, it was always a good shot. Come on. You know, like, the remember the KD burner gate last year, right? KD's another guy that, like, all of his teammates over the years have been like, ah, that guy's been great. That guy's been great. Meanwhile, he left OKC for the team that he lost to in a game seven when he went to Golden State. Then he was so annoying in Golden State that even while that team was historically great, the vibes there were not. And then from there, like, you know, you look at the vibes that followed him to Brooklyn and the vibes that followed him to Houston. And for some reason, these bad vibes just seem to show up when Kevin Durant shows up. Phoenix was a, you know, really bad vibe team there, right? These bad vibes just seem to follow Kevin Durant all over the place, and he never has anything to do with it, according to some of his teammates. And it's because, like, if they do air that dirty laundry, guess who's getting traded? Not Kevin Durant, you know, unless he asks for it. That's why it's like, I don't know if you guys noticed this, but there have been a few occasions here where, like, traditional media journalists, right, have been caught in spots, either outright admitting to it in like Sean's case, where he was like, yeah, I knew about the meeting between the Cavs and LeBron James in early July. I mean, it's like, why did you not make it known to anybody? And he's like, oh, it was off the record. It's like, then you get it on the record and then you report it. That's what journalism is. And then, like, in the Bay, right, Tim Kawakami is and some of his peers and colleagues are under fire kind of nationally for not divulging that Shanahan, the coach of the 49ers, got in that car accident that made it so that he wasn't available for the beginning of training camp. When they were told by the 49ers, hey, can you guys just, like, not report this for a little while? And then they didn't. And, like, that is, again, not journalism. And by the way, that happened previously with Kawakami and some of his peers there in the Bay when Andrew Wiggins went absent with, like, no explanation. And then when Wiggins came back, the Warriors sat up there and thanked reporters for not reporting. And like, you know, in those moments when access is kind of the thing that you present to your audience is the thing that separates you from idiots like me, you have to do whatever it takes to maintain that access. And in some of these cases, what it takes to maintain that access is not reporting, which is kind of the point. You know, like, you should, the relationship between the journalist and the subject isn't supposed to be friendly. It isn't supposed to be transactional. It's supposed to be informational and informative, I guess. And I think we've kind of lost that. And I think it's really hurt us societally. This is just sports. So at the end of the day, you know, as one, I remember when I was really young in my career, I had a journalist who will remain nameless, told me, dude, we're not reporting on the nuclear codes. We can be friendly with the people that we report on. And I was like, remind me not to follow your career internally, obviously. And you know, it's one of those spots here where like if I'm their audiences, I'm looking at them being like, wait, so what do you know that you aren't telling me on any given show, in any given thing that you write? And I'm not saying we are supposed to report every single thing the moment we get it, because that is not how you get the complete story. But if you're being told by your subject to not report on something, and then you don't report on something for the sake of maintaining your relationship with that subject, then that isn't journalism anymore. That's unethical. And trying to tell people that that's just how this is done, I'm sorry, buddy. That's not how this is supposed to be done. Like, flat out. And so anyway, like, the reason I bring all of that up is because, like, yeah, with the whole, the way that these lines have been fudged in sports coverage and all of this makes it kind of difficult to kind of know who to believe. And that's why I spent a few minutes in this episode just kind of telling you about my process and trying to be as transparent as I can possibly be on some of my processes. And, you know, all that some of these audiences can demand is that kind of transparency from some of the people that they read and listen to and stuff like that. And if they aren't getting it, then they're going to get it from somebody else. But yeah, those were three interesting kind of moments recently in sports coverage that shed a light on how the sausage is made that doesn't have people looking all that good in the light. Let's see. All right, I'll address this one, Marshawn. I'll never support a gambling company, and I wish y'all would stop advertising. I guess it's the easy money, but I'll still be here every show. So I honestly get it. I genuinely do, Marshawn. That this relationship that sports coverage has with gambling partners and sponsors and stuff like that has also fudged those lines. And I totally understand why you feel uncomfortable by it. Gambling is a serious addiction for some people. And to those who do become addicted to gambling, I hope that everybody is getting the help that they need to get. I also will say that because of late stage capitalism and because of the ways that these companies are being run, where large chunks of us have been, I've been laid off once. I don't know if I have very many friends in this industry who haven't been laid off. These companies are shrinking. The resources that we do get to work with are shrinking. And in my case, I've had to go completely independent just to have a shot at providing for my family. And sometimes that means having some relationships that I have to embrace, that maybe if the industry was in a healthier place, I wouldn't have to. And now that said, I am very choosy. I am very selective about some of those partnerships and some of those relationships. I do really believe in those companies that you see either actually sponsor my show or have the logos on the show and all that stuff. Like, that is something that I am very careful about. But I understand where you're coming from, Marshawn. And all I can do, again, is be as transparent about some of those relationships and some of the reasons behind some of those relationships, not just with my show, but across the entire industry, so that at the end of the day, you kind of understand what all of us who are trying to do this for a living are dealing with on a daily basis. I would prefer to just be a full-time employee at a company that pays me a livable wage, where I get my paychecks when I think I'm supposed to get my, you know, on twice a month. I would prefer to not go into every single season asking companies about, like, all right, what's my role going to be? Like, what's my work going to look like next year? I would love it if I could just work at a newspaper the way that a lot of my predecessors were able to just work at a newspaper and make good livings. However, because newspapers ran the industry into the ground and are now being victims of these vultures who exist at the top of our society, we all just have to make a lot of these sacrifices and have some of these relationships that some members of the audience aren't always going to be comfortable with. I get where you're coming from. All right. I am being called by Jen. So I'm going to play one of your guys' favorite clips just to answer this call really quick. Hold up.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast.
Backboard.
It was wide open. I can't even make choices.
Lou Williams, he said they just came together this year, as if that was an excuse, like the other team in the conference.
All right, I'm back. Here we are. So let's go ahead and answer maybe one or two more questions and then get out of here. And let's see. Flex cuts 32-76. Don't make me defend the Warriors, but they tried way harder than the Lakers did for LeBron in the back half of his tenure. Look, it isn't apples. There is no such thing as an apples to apples situation when you're talking about this. But Robocopy 29. No, I'm not in trouble. She was just calling because she didn't know what I wanted for lunch. But it's cool. We're good. I just always get nervous when I get multiple calls in a row from Jen, because that's, you always get nervous when you get multiple calls from your wife when you have kids, or just in general. You should always be nervous when you get multiple calls in a row from your wife. But anyway, we're good. Move on. So to answer flex cuts here, what I'll say about the Warriors compared to the Lakers' efforts is that the Warriors leak a hell of a lot more than the Lakers do. They are so shameless. And like I talked about with Kawakami and how I talked about with some of his peers there in the Bay, they will just repeat, like stenographers, the things that the Warriors will tell them. And what that often means is it'll look to their readers, their listeners, Warriors fans, as if the Warriors are trying so much harder than everybody else, when in reality, the thing that determines how hard you're actually trying are the things that you accomplish. And the Warriors haven't accomplished anything, honestly, that back half of Steph's career, and especially recently, right, the last couple of years, most notably by this last summer. So the Warriors, like what I'll say they try a lot harder with is maintaining that positive spin and that positive reporting about the things that they are trying to do. They do care a lot more about that than the Lakers, but from like the standpoint of like what they accomplished compared to what the Lakers accomplished in the back half of LeBron's tenure, it's not even close. The Lakers got LeBron, Luka. You know, they didn't do that for LeBron, but at the end of the day, like Luka is one of the most talented teammates LeBron's ever had. The Warriors never got Steph anybody close to as good as Luka is at the back half of his career. So or the last few years. So I would probably push back on that a little bit and say that that's more the reason that you feel that way is because of the coverage of the Warriors, not necessarily the things that the Warriors actually accomplished. All right. Let's see. We will go ahead and, yeah, I agree, Jimmy. Like I need to find more reasons to play that clip on the show, right? Like it's, it's such a good clip. It's such a funny clip. It's probably the thing I'm like proudest of in my career, and I probably need to find more reasons to use it. All right. So what I'm going to do, for the rest of the day is record a few of these, player previews, to have them stacked up and ready to go while I am on vacation. And if we get any kind of breaking news, right, a Kuminga thing, a backup center thing, a smaller move or something like that, maybe I will go live and break down what that might mean moving forward. I'm going to be honest, I'm going to spend a lot of time off of my phone, so probably not going to do a whole bunch of reporting while I'm there in California, which is ironic because that is like where I should be doing it. But no, I want to spend this time with my family, taking the kids to Disneyland, hanging by the pool there with the kids as often as I can. And then when I get back, I'll be fully recharged and ready to go and have some fun ideas lined up for August. And then, you know, we'll have a mini camp to break down in the middle of August. We'll have training camp in September, and then shortly thereafter, you're looking at an October when everything really gets going. So that will do it for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. Have a great rest of your week or so. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you guys when I get back.
Bye, everyone.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.